Good morning. I'm Deb and I'm an addict. Oops. See? Keep your hands off stuff then. You know, first I want to thank the God of my understanding for me standing here today. You know, and when my brother was sharing about his life experiences, it's been a hell of a year. It's been a hell of a year. You know, and I survived and I didn't have to shoot dope to get through. You know, and I just want to thank you guys for wrapping your arms around me. Because listen, November 8th, I went in for knee surgery. And a 3-day procedure, I was in the hospital for 22 days because I went into respiratory failure. And everything that happened to me, I have no recollection of it. I don't remember. When I woke up, it was 4 days later, and I just need to shout out to my sponsee family because they were praying for me from Philadelphia, from Delaware, from Harrisburg, and I believe in the power of prayer, and I thank you. But what that did for me was it gave me a whole new respect and perspective on life. And how sometimes I take this life for granted. And how sometimes I think that because I'm here today, I'll be here tomorrow. And for what I understand, they said they had tried everything, and the last thing they were going to try was a ventilator. And when I called my sponsor, she said, "I didn't think I'd ever hear your voice again." You know, and I may get emotional, you know, because I'm telling you that did something to me. You know, talking about getting in touch with God and realizing that I ain't the one that make it happen. I was cold, now I'm getting hot. Yes. Would you take this for me, sweetie? Thank you. You know, the sixth step, let's talk about the sixth step, because that's why we're here, right? First of all, I had never heard character defects. Never heard it. I thought, listen, when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, May 1st, 1987, I thought all I needed to do was stop using. And let me tell you something. The reason why we say that this disease is incurable, because I'm always thinking. I'm always thinking. So like what goes on up here, you know, I can make it right. And I can justify it. Personality change. I ain't not wrong with my personality. I just like to get high. What's wrong with you? I mean, don't everybody get high? I know my grandmother didn't, but she was the only one I knew that didn't. You know, and I ended up as a direct result of a character defect with 2 years in the county prison in Williamsport, PA, in Lycoming County, because I just thought that I just need to stop getting high. Now, they said to me, if you get a job, tell the people. So my thinking was, this is a small town. You don't know how to do it. I'm criminal minded. I'm gonna get a job. I'm gonna go get one more welfare check. I'm gonna get some more food stamps. And then I'm gonna stop. And let me tell you something. Once I started, I couldn't stop. And I remember having a job and walking in the bank and how my adrenaline would pump, how my hands would sweat. Because the bottom line is, at some point, I knew right from wrong. At some point, I made a conscious decision to just do the wrong thing. I mean, it was normal for me. So I ended up with 2 years. And let me tell you, when they did the pre-sentencing report on me from New Jersey, the judge in Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth, said, we got to give you some time because your thing read like a Dick Tracy comic book. They have a point system in Pennsylvania. And I think I scored a 6. And based off of my previous record. So I ended up getting 4 months. And can you give me some water, sweetie? Thank you. And work release. No. That's okay. Thank you. Wow. You see what I mean? We take care of each other. And okay, you want to buy me a water and stuff? It's $1.75. This is good. Thank you. But I ended up... Oh, thank you. Wow. Thank you. And I ended up going to jail. And the humiliation of that, you know, because... In the town that I come from, Williamsport, PA, everything is public record. When Miss Sally's cat go up in the tree, and they gotta get, they put you in the paper. So I show up at the Friday night meeting one night, and the guy said to me, "Oh, I see you was in the paper," and I cussed him out. Mind your own, you know, why don't you just listen? Everybody knew. And it was very embarrassing. It was very, very humbling when I had to go back into the meetings and get to the exact nature of what was really going on. You're a thief. And your thinking is what got you there. And I remember my sponsor saying, listen, the reason why you're there, I want you to do another fourth step and understand why you're there. And I said, well, you did one. She said, you need to do another one. I want you to understand what got you there. And I'm telling you, it was kind of like a turnaround for me at that point. Because what I realized was that not only did I suffer with the disease of addiction, I suffered with a distorted personality, broken. And in my mind, I thought that I was okay. 2 years clean in county jail. And I remember coming to Williamsport saying, I ain't never gonna have to go in there. Listen, J.C. Penney's downtown in Williamsport. In 87, they had racks of suede jackets, every color. And they didn't have them chained. And I just was like, wow. It was like, you know, because I'm from New Jersey, I'm from North. And they lock it down, right? And I said to him, I want one in every color. I want a purple one, I want a red one. They was nice. And my husband, God rest his soul, he said, Deborah, don't take it, you'll go to jail. So I said, I had a plan. You know, and what I'm, like, really getting to is the fact that most of what addiction had, because I was a little girl. Okay, let's talk about being a little girl and still crawling on the floor before dope to go on my grandmother's pocketbook. Stealing for some joker out of my grandmother's pocketbook. You know, like, I had all of the characteristics, so when dope came into play, I already knew how to act. Because I had been practicing. You know, and it's just like LeBron James and them, how they get better is they keep practicing. And how I get better in here, I got to keep practicing. You know, and the sixth step talks about allowing me to be human. We falter along the way. Yes, yes. And I listen, you can't beat me up no more than not beat me up. Because I can do a hell of a job one day. You know, and the spirituality of our sixth step, you know, talks a lot about, like, God. And I was talking to somebody earlier, and I was saying it, and, you know, like, down in seven, I always thought I needed to be the one to get rid of the shortcomings. And God said, we don't need your help. Because everything that you do and that you touch. You know, back in October, I got a call from my aunt in New Jersey that she had found my mother on the floor of her apartment. And the next day, me and my son, we rode to New Jersey to pick her up. And listen, my mother had me when she was 16. She made a decision that she wanted to get married. And one of the conditions that my grandmother and grandfather gave her was, you can get married, but Deborah's not going anywhere. So they raised me. So we were always like rivaling siblings. You know, we was all more like sisters. You know, like, we fought like sisters. You know, there was always a lot of tension. You know, there was always a lot of, you know, jealousy and envy for my grandmother's love. My mother has Alzheimer's and dementia. I had, listen, my sponsor had to talk me down a few times. I had to call Ethel because she had the experience. And she was talking to me like real greasy. I mean, like, you know, like she'd be saying stuff out the side of her neck along with that condition. Oh, yeah. And it took me back. It took me back because she was abusive emotionally, mentally, and physically. And you're not going to talk to me that way. Now, I don't know if she didn't understand, because, listen, and everybody said, well, you know, oh, she, but let me tell you something. My character defects came into play. Oh, you went out.
Come on.
And I'm telling you, I had to be talked down a few times. And I had to sit with me and realize that she can't help herself. But I'm telling you, it took me back to that little girl that she said, you ain't nothing but like your dope and your father. You was a mistake. Because she told me that. You ain't supposed to be here. It was a mistake. And I'm telling you, it took me back. So, like, character defects was flying all over the place. And I was like, wow. And then, you know, like, they, you know, those patients their reality is their reality. And my friends, you know, would come over, brought these body pillows, and I had them on my couch. And she told my girlfriend, "Don't sit on my pillows like that." And I go, "I bought them pillows. Well, this is my house, ain't everything in here my..." No, it's not. You know, like, this is, you know, like, she really had to pray. I had to pray. Because you're in my home. But I talk about that because it just kicks up a lot of stuff for me. They told me that I could build some new character. Let's talk about the character defects that you develop when you get here. The character defects that be glaring, what I just talked about. The situations that show up in my life where the first thing, sometimes I don't always think about a spiritual principle. Sometimes my head don't go right there. Because sometimes I got to pull myself back and say, "Wait a minute, the spiritual principle," but sometimes that shit don't kick in right away. You know, and I've been in this process long enough to know that this works, but I've also been in this process long enough to know that shit is real, real here. Life is real. And life show up. You know, and a lot of times, you know, listen, my first drug of choice was fantasy. Fantasy. I created a world. And it was very real to me. You know, and I'm thinking about how I can create that same type of fantasy here. Whether it's through, you know, a relationship. Because, like, my husband died with 25 years clean in 2012. And I haven't been in a relationship or dated anyone. You know, hit and misses, jokes, talking, bull. Listen, and I'm too old for that. I ain't got time for that. I mean, either it is or it ain't. You know, my days are shorter than longer. You know what I mean? And I'm dead serious. And they want to, you know, to still act like they, you know, they 60, but they want to still act like they 20. You know, so, you know, talk. No, I don't have time. I don't have that kind of time. You know, so, like, when, you know, when they come with that, because you know what? You can see it coming, that it's bull. Listen, nip it right in the bud. Listen, we're going to do, listen. Because you can't do a whole lot anyway. So, you know, like, we going to dinner. You know, we're going to the movies, right? You know, I like to be washing dishes and a joker walk by and pat you on your ass and say, "Hey, baby." You know, my husband used to do it every now and again. So, you know, like, loneliness show up. But when I think about what loneliness is, I ain't really lonely. You know, I got a lot of people in my life. A lot. You know, but, you know, companionship, because I'm not one of the women that believe that, you know, I don't need nobody. I think that every human being has a need to be loved and belong to. You know, sometimes we just want somebody to say, "I love you." And cuddle with you. Watch a movie and can't do nothing else. Listen, I got a birthday coming. I got an anniversary and a birthday coming. And let me tell you something. I got clean at 38 years old. I was 38 in number. But emotionally and mentally, I probably was like 13 or 14. You know, so in my mind and in my style, I feel like I'm 30. Also, gonna have 30 years, right? And, you know, like, I didn't do a whole lot of things. I didn't work. I wasn't the employable addict. I wasn't the educated addict. You know, I used. That was my job. And let me tell you something. When I went hard. And most of the character defects that I brought in with me were the ones that I needed to protect me when I was out there. It was the ones that I needed to make sure that I was okay and I was safe. So when I come in and you guys tell me that I need to change that and I can let some of the walls down, listen, it was brick by brick. The wall didn't just come down. Because I had some issues. Still got some issues. And this is an ongoing process. You don't do six one time. Six will show up when you least expect. I'm doing well. I'm calling my sponsor. I'm making meetings. You know, I'm doing this recovery thing. And something happened like bam! With no spiritual principles. You know, I'm just talking about me. Down in four, it was like a surgery of the spirit. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but my spirit was dead. I had none. I had no emotions. I was empty. And at some point, I kept coming up empty, and I couldn't figure out why. What was it about me that cried out for self-destruction? Down here, I'm talking about going down real deep. What is it about me where I can't do nothing right? And I found out what that something was. And when I read Who's an Addict, the only thing that was missing was my face. Because I certainly identified with everything it talked about. I was hopeless. I didn't think that there was anything else for me. There was this old lady in New York City on 7th Avenue on 116th Street in a hotel. And it was where you paid $2 to go in. And it was daytime when you go in. And it was like a whole city. You got your works there, you got your dope there, da, da, da. And they had professional surgeons, hitters. Well, I trusted them enough to blow and bring a vein up. And listen, that's my reality. And this old woman, I was like, damn, I want her job. She high every day. People paying her to hit them. And I couldn't see past that. You know, and I'm talking about, listen, I could not see past that. I didn't think that there was anything greater or nothing more for me. And I come to Narcotics Anonymous. And you guys said, you can do this. And mind you, I came in here not through detox or rehab. I got clean right in these rooms, off of 80 milligrams of methadone and everything else. I detox in the seats. So ask me why I stay. Because the physical withdrawal, it wasn't mental, it was physical. The pain that my body went through, detoxing in the rooms. I'm talking about having uncontrollable body twitches. Because see, the methadone did something to my nervous system. I had to see a neurologist. I withdrew and I know it. And I would sit between Big Richard P, Breakers and me, and Adrian H, and they would anchor me in my seat. And I had a very good friend who passed away clean in this fellowship, and she was my first female friend in fellowship, and her name was Renee. And they'd give me hot baths, and they'd wash my body. They said, just don't leave. Leave tomorrow. And I looked up, 30 days had went by. 60 days, I started to feel better physically. But up here, I was still messed up. Listen, my brain was like mush. I couldn't put a sentence together. I couldn't hold a conversation because the dialogue where I came from was very limited. Where's it at? Who got it? How can we get it? Well, nothing else to talk about. You know, so interactions, you know, when they talk about antisocial behavior, animalistic level, listen, taking a shower wasn't the order of the day. Bag of dope was, because I couldn't put a foot on the floor until I did that. Not to get high, just to get up to go get high. And those are the things that keep me coming. Because I remember like it was yesterday. I remember that pain. My eyeballs hurt. I was in so much pain. Because listen, that methadone wasn't nothing nice to come up off. It was a hard detox and everything else. You know, I tell you, I am so grateful. You know, and like I was having anxiety earlier, you know, because I mean, I have to tell the truth. You know, and it dawned on me, well, I'm trying to impress a whole bunch of dope fiends who just like me. You know, why, you know, like I'm ready to do a full production in a Broadway play. Right? Yeah. You know, ego, you know, you got to sound. No, you got to be deaf, dumb. That's all you can be. And I feel so much better because I'm with my family. And listen, my family showed up for me. I love you, Trina. Trish. She took a ferry to show up for me. You know, Kim, thank you. Winnie. You know, the ladies that I sponsor, I ain't got no words. They nasty. They mean me to get disrespectful sometimes. They get disrespectful. They do. And I'll be like, okay. I don't know, listen. But listen, that's love? Okay, well, let me tell you something. It might be. Because, see, I know that I can be a piece of work. You know, but I love them. And when we talk about unconditional love and this fellowship, you know, where we can have a disagreement, we can cuss each other out, sponsor, sponsee, whatever. You know, because I ain't in love with my sponsor every day, especially some of the stuff she say. You know, and I know that I can get flipped, you know, at my mouth with her. But one of the things that I will tell you, I respect her. And I respect what it is that she gives me, which is sometimes she is my best thinker. Because sometimes she be like, you should hear you. You hear you? I'm like, yeah. She said, you sure? Because if you heard you, you know. But just listen, I am like so grateful. I really am. You know, I was so looking forward to coming down here because I needed, after this year, I needed just a little mini vacation, you know. And my girl, last year I said, dang, I need one more day. Denise called me and says, guess what, Spice? We leave it Thursday. Got you one more day. And I was like, yes, you know. But I want to thank you. Hey, Dick. Mark, a little late, but I know you just got off the boat. But I just want to thank the committee. I want to thank the Ocean City Committee for the opportunity to share with you guys who I am. You know, and I'm real grateful that I got to meet a lot of people face to face that I'm with on the ship, just to be able to. What's your name? Nancy? Yeah. Patricia. You know, face to face, because it's all about relationships. Recovery is about relationships. Not intimate ones, but just relationships. Well, yeah, we get a lot of them, but they're usually a terribly painful area. You know, but I'm talking about, you know, just interacting with people, because see, I was the addict who didn't know how to do that, as I said earlier. Social skills were deeply sharp by using. So to come in and be able to coexist and learn how to coexist in a world that ain't just about me. It ain't my world. It ain't. You know, it's other people here. Once again, thank you. My time is up. Huh? Oh, okay. I'm an addict named Deb. Thanks for letting me share.